your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Who win it now?
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Welcome back into the bullpen. Hour number two with Cam Smith, Brian McDonald, and John Belmer. Of course, coming up at 1:30. We'll have the award-winning, groundbreaking segment, Mount Rushmore Plus One. But right now, we talk Houston Rockets. With the Rockets, as I think surprised even the most diehard of fans, going from 41-41 last year, finishing as the 11th seed, to now going into, and they locked this up, I think three games ago, they will be the number two seed in the playoffs when they start a week from today, when the regular bracket starts a week from today. On April 19th, also known, John Belmer knows this, also known as WrestleMania Saturday. So I might be in a conflict about, do I watch the Rockets in their first playoff series since the bubble, or do I watch WrestleMania?
So your argument is, do I watch something interesting or not interesting?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to watch WrestleMania.
Okay.
I thought we were on the same page there. No, yeah. I'm going to watch WrestleMania. And I'll DVR the Rockets.
Two screens? I can't
deal with the two screens. If it's something I like care about, I don't want to split my attention. Like if the wife and kids are asleep on a Tuesday and we got Maxion on TV, sure, I'll quad box it. I don't care because I'm not really super invested into the individual outcome of a game. But no, Rockets.
That Rockets game is going to get spoiled for you.
Nah, I'll be fine.
Really?
I think so.
You're going to stay off all social media.
I think
while watching WrestleMania.
Oh, that's a good point, Cam.
Yeah,
that's a good point. But same token, though, if I'm on social media during the Rockets game, WrestleMania is going to get spoiled.
You're in a predicament,
maybe the Rockets will be the early game, or maybe they won't tip off till Sunday and won't matter. You know what? WrestleMania's on Sunday, too.
Well.
You know? Okay.
Quite the pickle.
We'll figure this out. We'll figure it out. John is beside
you. You could sacrifice one of the days.
No,
it's
John.
It's 2 days.
It's the showcase of the Immortals, John. It's where legends are made.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels. Hulk Hogan. Legends.
That other guy.
How dare you suggest I miss one of those days?
That other guy, yeah.
Yeah, and then that other one.
You know. Well, which one were you going to say?
You know, that big one.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah. But specifically, though, what was his name? It's all right. With Sports Entertainment, Sean gets back next week. We'll talk some wrestling. I have to deal with these noobs who don't want to talk wrestling. All right, Rockets. We'll
wrestling get to the
Rockets. We only got like 6 minutes here, so we really got to get going. Rockets, got their ass kicked last night, but obviously they're not trying. Their seed was locked up, and a lot of the starters who did play were only playing like 14, 15 minutes. Jalen Green's only playing enough minutes to make sure he gets credit so he can get the 82 games played again, which, let's start off there.
I respect it,
and I get it. It's a point of pride, especially in the league where you see a lot of guys taking load management games, you know, every other week. But, like, how do you feel about Jalen Green putting that individual accomplishment, you know, playing in all 82 games for, I believe, a second straight year, maybe third straight year, above making sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that he's healthy when the playoffs start on April 19th? Because I know he's only playing like 15 to 20 minutes, just enough to get credit for the game, but he's still playing 15 to 20 minutes, and the injury risk in that 15 to 20 minutes is not zero.
I mean, it's still...
Like, if he twists an ankle playing those 15 to 20 minutes, and now his status for the first couple games of the playoffs is up in the air, I think we're going to have some people upset.
I mean, it's still there, but like, are we saying that it's more like a Jalen thing? Like, he's like, no, I need to play.
Yeah, Jalen has made it known that's very important to him
to play all 82.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it was something about trying to get like a bonus or something else, but the fact that he's trying to be that one guy that can almost like, well, I was going to say Jaylen Brown, but now he's hurt. So, but I was going to say, if it's one of those things where he's trying to be that one guy that can show you that he can play all 82 games, I'm not mad at it.
I have a theory with this, because I think most people agree with you, Cam. And because like if he were chasing like a points thing or something else that is viewed as more like, I guess, glory hogging.
Yeah.
I think people would have a problem with this. I think people are kind of, or seem like for the most part, they're on your side of this because he's chasing after something that feels more noble. Like it's like an Iron Man thing. I'm a gladiator. Yeah. I'm not taking days off. I'm not taking load management days in February. Like he's playing every single game. So because it's, I think, viewed as a more noble pursuit, people are willing to overlook the idea of he's risking injury and hurting the team.
Yeah, and knock on some wood, obviously he's a guy that's able to stay healthy. So I think that there's more of a longer leash to let him do something like this. Now, if it was anybody else like Sengun or Red Van Fleet who have been hurt a few times the last couple of years, for me, them trying to chase 82 games, I'd be like, no, stop it.
Yeah, and maybe Jalen Green's just got Wolverine blood in him. You're not worried about him getting hurt as much. But you're right. Like anybody with even – you like that reference, Sean? Anyone with even the slightest bit – I mean, they have a hangnail they need to be sitting.
Exactly.
There's literally nothing to gain from what now is only one game remaining, which is tomorrow. But even, you know, last night – like the last three games for them, last night included – were completely meaningless for the standings. They're locked into the two seed. So right now, like I said, two seed playoffs start a week from today for them. When the play-in games are done, the Rockets will play the winner of the 7-8 play-in game, which right now would be the Timberwolves or the Grizzlies. I think the answer is pretty clear there. Both guys have, you know, top-notch scores with Anthony Edwards and John Morant. But if I'm the Rockets looking at that potential matchup of either the Timberwolves or the Grizzlies, give me the Grizzlies, please. Like, I know John Morant, if he gets hot and he's not lobbing grenades and doing handguns, he could beat you on a given night. But the Rockets won the season series against the Grizzlies. And I don't know. I don't fear Ja the way I would Anthony Edwards taking the next step and being a guy that, I mean, I don't think it's crazy to say he could be a guy, if he's hot, that averages 40 in a series. Like, he's that level of player, that level of upside to me. So if I had my choice between Timberwolves or Grizzlies, give me the Grizzlies.
I'm going to go Grizzlies too. Minnesota always plays us really well. And even though Memphis is a really good team and Jaw can light it up, they just fired their head coach.
Yeah. Like,
and
yeah,
that was weird.
I mean, so do the Nuggets.
Yeah,
that's
even more weird.
I don't get it.
Like, didn't y'all just win a championship?
Yeah, 2 years ago. I mean, quick derailment. I don't know if you saw this, and I know, caveat, asterisk, whatever. It probably means absolutely nothing. But when the firing of Malone happened with Denver, BetOnline put out odds for next team for Nikola Jokic if he leaves Denver, because the reports are, like, they told him before the news broke on ESPN, but they didn't consult him. It wasn't like, hey, what do you think of this? It's like, we're doing this, just a heads up. And so apparently that has created the idea that maybe Jokic might want out, and the number one team on the odds board in Vegas, if he leaves the Nuggets, is the Houston Rockets.
Which
I mean,
it's exciting to be on top of that list.
Half
but
your damn team.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, why would the Rockets, who basically already have a younger... I don't want to say Sengun lesser, but I mean, technically,
don't ask the question why we would want Jokic, Cam. I mean, Jokic is the best player in the world.
I would get why you would want Jokic, but it's the fact that you would have to give up so much for him, and you already have a guy in Sengun that's on his. I'm not saying that he's ever going to be to the level of Jokic, but
right.
He does basically. He's baby Jokic. So it's just kind of like the amount that you would have to give up for this guy. I don't know if I could do it, because we see how well this team has come together and played under Ime. And it's just like, are they that? They're not that big of a piece away from doing something relevant in the playoffs. Like,
you know,
I think that they could use another star, but I don't think it has to be the best player in basketball right now for them to do something.
Okay, so you think they're capable of winning a title with what they currently have?
Not with what they currently have. I think that they could get another star in here. I just don't think it has to be to the level of Jokic.
Okay, so I think, okay, now it might cost more than this. And really, again, this is a very unlikely scenario. Jokic is going to stay in Denver. I think this whole thing is being overblown. But hey, it's fun.
Yeah.
Let's play it out on radio. My hypothetical trade offer, kind of take it or leave it to Denver, would be Sengun, because they'd be playing the same position.
Yeah,
it makes a lot. I mean, one, Denver will get a you know, an all-star level big that is younger than Jokic. It makes a lot of sense. So Şengün is the centerpiece of – he's the biggest prize of the trade-offer I'd make. And then I'd be willing to throw in Tari Eason, who's, you know, a young, exciting player, wing player, who I think would be interesting to Denver. I mean, that's not some scrub off your bench that you're throwing in like you see these offers get made online. Like, Tari Eason's a legit piece that I think you could afford to lose, but Denver would also like. So Şengün, Tari Eason, a veteran to make the contracts work, because we know the NBA you have to be within was 10%, 15%. So you're, which probably means it's either Fred or Dillon, and then some first-round picks. You have the first-round picks from Phoenix. If a deal is centered around Şengün, Tari Eason, a veteran to make the contracts work, and a couple first-round picks, you would poo-poo that? I don't know if Denver would even take that. They might want more. Jeremy Branham thinks that it would cost both Jalen Green and Şengün.
If what you're saying is what Denver would want, it would be hard not to pull that, the trigger for that trade, but I think they're going to want more. I think that they're going to want...
I mean, Jeremy thinks it's going to take Şengün and Jalen Green.
I think it would.
Plus a veteran and picks, which, I mean, I get it. He's the
now,
best.
You might be able to get another good player from Denver in return, like maybe like,
you
a,
just
like
roster
a
Porter swap?
Or something. Yeah, yeah, but I think Denver knows what they have in Jokic, and I think that they could ask for the world. And maybe some team will give it to him. But if you're talking Şengün and Green and first round picks, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, I'd be out at that point. Quick text reacting to what we were talking about with Jalen Green before we get to the break from 0452. I think is no, I don't think I know. He's taking a shot at my opinion here on Jalen Green, which is fair. Quote from 0452. I don't get it. One day we cry about paying to see people play and they don't. Now we call them selfish for wanting to play. So now, I will say to 0452, I have never been one, and I'm comfortable going on record this, try to pull the tape because it doesn't exist. I've never cried about people missing games for load management. To me, you should do what's best for you and the team, and if that's to get rest and be healthy because the season is already way too long. I'm a person that would shorten the NBA season to 60 games. Like, I think it's ridiculous that they play 82 games. I know. That's a hot takey. I'm out on an island. I'm well aware of that. That's just to make the point. Like, I don't care that LeBron sits out a random game in March because it's the second night of a back-to-back, and he's 40 years old, and they're trying to make it to the finish line of the NBA playoffs because making sure you get to the NBA playoffs healthy is the most important thing for them to do, and that falls in line with my thought on Jalen Green. The most important thing to do, like if I were to tell you, what's the most important thing for us to do? Make sure Jalen plays 82 games or make sure he's healthy for the playoffs? It's make sure he's healthy for the playoffs. So, I mean, I get what the texts are saying because there are a lot of people, and even at the station, not me, but people at the station that get all up in arms when players load manage. I'm not one of those guys. To me, get to the playoffs healthy. That's the only thing that matters.
I'm kind of on. I know it's nobody ever wants to like say they're on both sides. Like I feel like I'm kind of dead even. Like I don't like when. So I guess for me it's more. I get older veteran players and these back to backs sending out one of them. Like that one I'm okay with. What irks me is more like younger players doing it. Like I guess that I mean that's pretty simple.
So you have to be old.
It's also the time of the year.
If they're old
too.
Ass geezers, you're cool with it. If they're young bucks, you're not cool with it. Is that what we're?
Yeah, but it's also the timing of the year. Like I get now, you know, with three or four games left in the season, if your seed is already locked up, then okay, rest them. But if there's still a chance that you could go from the fourth to the third seed or the third to the second seed, I feel like that's when it annoys me when there's like load management because there is still technically something that you could benefit from by playing and by winning. But like with the Rockets, they had already had the second seed locked up before the Clippers.
Three games ago, they had literally nothing to play for.
Yeah.
Like again, I'm not trying to bash Jalen Green when I say this. Like, I get why he would pursue that. It's something that you don't see from a lot in today's game. But the only thing he's accomplishing in these last three games by playing is a personal, individual, quasi-selfish goal.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to crush him. But if he gets hurt while pursuing something for himself, something that's individual, I'm going to have a problem with that because the most important thing is getting to the playoff selfie, which is, look, I think I agree with your overall point. Like, you know, if there's something to chase it. Like, I'm in agreement with that. But I still think it's to the team, well, to the player, but more so the team to decide, all right, what are we chasing? What's more important to us? Yeah. Like, if we're the fifth seed, even though we have a chance to maybe move up to the four, but our guys are banged up, then it's up to the team to decide, is it more important to chase that four seed, get the home court advantage in the first round, or to get our guys healthy?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to crush them if they decide it's to get healthy. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into it. And I think another one, too, is like, for a lot of fans, it's the amount of money that players are getting now, and it's the fact that things like concessions and stuff are more expensive. So it's like you want to see the star players and the best players out there as much as possible, especially when they're making big bank and you're having to pay $16 for a beer that you could get at the store for $2.50.
Yeah, like maybe there should be something from the NBA where if a team sits out, you get some sort of rebates, maybe not the right term, but you know, some sort of voucher for a game to come. I don't know. Yeah. That's something that the teams and the league would have to figure out. But I think, look, I'm not saying I'm necessarily right about this. It's just what I my opinion on it. But I've been pretty consistent in regards to what the texter said. Like if to me, the most important thing beyond anything else is getting to the playoffs healthy. And what Jalen doing right now is not the best way to achieve that. Hopefully it works out, but we will see as the Rockets close out their season tomorrow. All right, we are way over on the break. On the other side, when we get back, it is time for the big question. And maybe some Masters audio if we have time as well, because there's a clip that is just priceless. That when the bullpen returns, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in. Just three segments to go today on this Saturday edition of the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Belmer here with you. If you want to join in on the conversation and answer these big questions I'm about to lay out to the guys, give us a call or a text on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. And quick programming note as before we get into it, again, next segment, Mount Rushmore plus one, so you don't want to miss that. Next week, Sean Mapes will be back for a WrestleMania Saturday edition of the Bullpen. I know John and Cam are very excited about that. And I haven't seen the schedule too far out, but I don't believe there's another Astros game for a while that interrupt us. So I know we're on for at least the next two Saturdays as far out as I've looked. But
I unfortunately will not be able to join you on next week. I have a charity flag football tournament.
Son of a... No, okay. Oh, that's fine. That's
for charity.
Fine. Oh, okay. What charity? The Cam Smith Foundation?
No. So the
is this the Human Fund? Humans Helping Humans?
The Chargers Group.
Oh, of course it's the John, we should have just guessed it was the Chargers.
There is a charity.
Is this to help pay Justin Herbert's contract? Is this what this is?
This goes to Zoe's outreach. It goes to underprivileged children.
All right, now I feel like an angel.
And
okay.
Last year we won the championship, so we're trying to run it back this year.
There it is. So he started off noble, Johnny, but he got to the selfish. Right? He's trying to run it back. All right, Jalen Green over here.
I'm trying to run it back.
Trying
to play for the children.
82 in the flag football league, right? All right, big question time, so we'll have to make it semi-quick here. You know, we ran a little bit over with the Rockets conversation. First question to both of you gentlemen. With your life on the line, would you rather have to get a hit against a major league pitcher or catch a first down going up against an NFL cornerback? You get 10 chances for either. So your life's on the line. If you don't succeed, you die. Would you rather try to get a hit off a major league pitcher or run a route against a defensive back, 10 yards, has to be for a first down, and they have to catch the ball?
Who's my quarterback?
You pick anyone you want.
Okay.
Your choice.
Who's pitching?
It has to be, let's say, all-star caliber pitcher.
Okay.
Versus an all-star caliber cornerback?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The humans against you on either side, let's level them out. We'll say they're all-star caliber. Not Hall of Famers, but all-star caliber.
The baseball player in me wants to say go against a major league pitcher. But man, I feel like I have a higher chance because the pitcher can throw so many different things, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went against some good pitchers in high school that went on to do something.
You would have to go up there just seeing red. You would have to just guess fastball every single time and swing and hope you get there.
I think that there's just a better chance.
If he throws the curve, I mean, sit back down. 10 chances, you're dead.
I think I have a higher chance out of those 10 chances against a cornerback that he might slip to where it would allow me to get open, and I would be able to live.
So
I'm going that way.
I'm going that way, too, because, one, on the baseball side of things, to me, I don't know if you guys agree with this, there's nothing harder in all of sports than to hit a round ball with a rounded bat squarely when it's coming at you 95 and curving and sliding and dipping. And there's nothing harder in sports to do than to hit a Major League Baseball well. So, like, both of these are, you know, 0.0001% odds that I'm able to complete.
Yeah.
But I think the NFL catching a pass against an NFL corner is slightly higher because as long as we're enforcing rules, right? He can't, the defensive back just can't throw me to the ground, right? He can't just jump over the top of my shoulder, right? As long as I'm able to get to the 10-yard mark before I keel over, and I have, let's say I've got Peyton Manning thrown to me, Tom Brady, whoever, all-time great, right? There's a chance to where as long as we're enforcing, you know, pass interference, all those sort of rules, where if the quarterback puts it in the perfect spot at the perfect time, then I'm relying on his skill and I could catch that pass even though the defensive back's great. I mean, so I'll take my odds of getting one of those out of 10, whereas, look, I'll tell you right now, just shoot me. I'm not going to touch the I'm not going to touch the pitcher, so I'll go with the football thing.
What if there's defensive holding? Do you get that attempt back?
Yeah, it would start over.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Johnny?
I mean, both of you took, like, the explanation, but I think we need a tougher question, no offense, B-Man.
Okay,
Your explanation of, hey, you're relying on the quarterback to put it in the right spot, and all you have to do is catch it once you get to the 10-yard, that seems a lot more doable than hitting a baseball. And then to Cam's point, like the cornerback's going to slip one out of the 10 times, and right, you're going to have an opportunity. So, like, I don't think there's even a question on this.
Okay. So, I mean, like, what can we put in that would make it an easier choice? Like, with half-court shot versus catching a pass against offensive back? I mean, we're all taking the half-court shot, right?
But
what if I only give you, like, three attempts?
Nope.
So, three attempts from half-court, or you get 10 attempts against an NFL cornerback.
I'm going cornerback.
Okay, what about
five shots from half-court? How many shots do you need before you're taking that over the NFL corner?
10.
Okay. Yeah. See that? But it's so much, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's so much more attainable. Because we see these jamokes at halftime shows all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Hit shots for $10,000 and they've got no ability to play in the NBA. So you can't get the same amount of attempts.
All right.
I'll give you five.
Five?
See, I would take five shots from half court over trying to get the pass against the NFL corner.
All right, I would try five.
Johnny?
I would definitely do the basket, like shooting the shots. What about,
your shot?
Can you take the shot for me? Is that what you were asking?
No, I was just saying you got to shoot your shot.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Yeah. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. Boom! Yes! Right there.
Right. Oh yeah.
What about taking a handoff? What if you had 10 opportunities? You think you can get 5 yards? Ten handoffs.
We're talking full 11-on-11.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not with the Texans' offensive line.
Oh, God. I mean,
you give me the Lions' offensive line, I get a yard.
I am tiny enough.
I'm not getting five.
I would be hidden, and I could just.
Oh, that's a good point.
Where is
that's
he?
That's a good point. Now I would be bigger, just pure size, than some of the defenders trying to tackle me.
Yeah, but then you just.
But I'm also very, very unathletic. So yeah, no, they would bring me down instantly. Obviously, I don't think I would take the run. I would have to lower the yardage. I couldn't say 5 yards
because if I get hit the first time,
so
who says I'm going
to get
up?
The line of scrimmage is the problem. Like in theory, they can open up because occasionally you see this in the NFL where a hole is open up so wide where they say a truck could drive through it. Like if they give me that, okay. But I still have to be fast enough to get to the line of scrimmage in time to get there when the hole's open because it's going to close pretty quickly after it opens.
And is this two-hand touch or tackle? Because if my ass gets lit up the very first carry, I might not be able to go back out there for the second one.
That's a good point, yeah. Okay, real quick one here before we get out for Mount Rushmore Plus One. If you're cooking breakfast for dinner, are you making breakfast or are you making dinner?
No, you're still making dinner.
You're making dinner? So dinner is more about the time you're eating it and not what you're eating.
Because people say, I'm going to have breakfast for
dinner
all the
time. So even if you're having bacon and eggs at 7 p.m., you're having dinner, not breakfast?
Yes.
Johnny?
Because I've done that before, and I literally tell myself, for dinner, I'm going to make breakfast.
Okay.
Yes, but it also depends on, like, how you ask the question. So, like, you can say...
You want me to ask it again?
Well, no, not like that. But, I mean, you can say, okay, if you cook breakfast for dinner, are you having dinner?
Or are you having breakfast?
Or are you having breakfast? Well, if I cook lasagna for breakfast, I'm still having lasagna. So I think if I cook breakfast for dinner, I'm still having dinner. It's just breakfast in that environment. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
No, I'm with you guys. Okay. I'm in agreement. But I think that breaks, like, because I've heard that question. I heard it elsewhere. And it broke a few people's minds. Like, they couldn't, like, no, but if you're eating waffles, it's breakfast. Like, it's not.
You're eating breakfast food, but it's for dinner.
Right.
Breakfast
food. There you go. Exactly. Yeah. To me, what is dinner, what is breakfast is about the time of day you're eating it. Like Johnny said, like lasagna for breakfast, you're eating breakfast. You're just eating lasagna
just
for
eating lasagna.
Which, by the way, let's normalize eating lasagna for breakfast. It sounds pretty damn good. I'm with that, Johnny.
I can get on board.
All right, on the other side of the break, we got to get to the award-winning, groundbreaking segment, Mount Rushmore Plus One. Don't go anywhere, Houston. We'll be right back. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Welcome in, Houston, to the best part of your weekend. Welcome in to the award-winning, groundbreaking, sports radio landscape-changing segment, Mount Rushmore Plus One, that'll land the three of us, plus Sean Mapes, even though he's not here, in the Texas Radio Hall of Fame in far less than the 27 years it'll take John and Lance. I'm gonna die on that hill. One day that'll probably come back to bite me when Granato fires me. But for now, I'm standing on that hill. And who wants to get started today? Cam, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I can go first.
You can go first. Why don't you go ahead and lead us off then?
So I chose this topic because the other day I was having a conversation with my mother and she was asking me, what are your weekend plans? And I told her, I'm going to the symphony tonight.
Ooh,
and
are we
she
fancy?
Was like, you? The symphony? Like,
so your mother basically called you trash, is what you're saying. Like, low class, like, you do not look like you should be going to. At the time you get a Bucky's tattoo, like, your symphony days are over, is that what your mom's saying?
I think they were over way before that
okay.
Bucky's, that
all right,
Bucky's
all right.
One.
That's fair.
So, I did things I do or have done that people wouldn't expect.
Oh, I like this.
Now, obviously,
we get to learn a little bit about Cam while we also laugh along. It's fun.
Yes,
all
I'm
right.
sure some of these will be giggle-worthy. So, the first one on the list is the symphony. I actually went a few months ago to the Harry Potter symphony.
Okay.
And tonight I'm going to the Selena one. So
now, I'm not surprised by the Selena one because I know you're the biggest Selena fan I know. But does it qualify as going to the symphony when it's the Harry Potter night? I'm not trying to dog you because the last time I went to the symphony, and this is going back to when Steve Sable was still alive, so it's been a while. But when they did an NFL Films night, and it was like all the old like 60s, 70s NFL Films music. But I don't know if I really like went to the symphony. I went to hear football music. So
I. That's a good one. Actually, I wish I could have gone one.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
The Harry Potter one was similar. They played, I think, the second movie, but there's so many songs, and that soundtrack is so long, and the orchestra was like playing.
Did they like play the movie and then play along with it, or they just play the songs?
No, they're playing the movie, and then the orchestra is playing all the sounds and music.
I'd prefer that than I wasn't sure if they were just playing the songs. Okay,
oh yeah, no, they're playing like the music and the soundtrack and all that stuff that you would hear in the movie. It's just the orchestra version.
All right. So what's next on your list, sir?
The next one is I get decked out when I go to the Renaissance Festival.
Okay, oh, yeah. So you're – okay, what are you dressed as?
So the last time I went, I actually went as like a – I don't know, like a Scottish slash like Irish
you
like
have a
little Celtic
on?
Warrior. I made my own.
Wow.
I went to Michael's and got like
that's
some –
That's like full-on cosplay then, kind of.
Oh, when me and my friends go, we – like we're living in that age.
All right.
Oh,
I like it. I like it.
The next one, painting with a twist.
I don't. You have to explain that one to me. I don't know what is painting with a twist.
Painting with a twist is a, it's like a company or like a store. I don't know whatever you want to call it. And you have you ever been to Mad Potter? You
heard of Mad Potter? Yeah, I did something. There's been a couple of like artsy things that we went to. Like we made a bench for my grandpa when he turned 80, where we took these tiles and we all painted our individual tiles. And they then put it over the top of the bench. So I think that was Mad Potter that I did that at. But.
Yeah, I mean this is very similar. Like you're not always painting like pottery. Sometimes there's other stuff to like paint. But there's the twist is there's alcohol like involved. So the last time I went, like me and my friends painted. We had like some beers or like a bottle of wine. So it's just
that sounds fun.
It's fun, but most people don't look at me as somebody that wants to go color and paint. But
no,
I enjoy.
You're right. Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed. If you said, "Hey, what am I doing this week?" and take a guess, I wouldn't have said drunk painting.
I don't think anybody would. Yeah.
All right. So what do you got left here?
The next one is I like to candle shop.
Okay. See, like the first couple things on this list, I was like, "All right, that sounds kind of cool." You're losing me on the candle shop.
I like candles. So
you got lights, right?
I do. You
got electricity?
Is it more about the smell?
It's the smell, and it's also, like, whenever I watch movies and stuff like that, like, I like to cut off all the lights, and so having, like, a couple of candles.
He's doing bubble bath for watching movies, Johnny.
Actually, I do have a candle in my shower. I do have a candle in my shower.
While you're reading some romance novel that's got a Fabio looking dude on the cover.
No, I don't read in the shower. I can't get the book wet. But yeah, I mean I like candles. I probably have like 10 in the apartment.
Man.
Yeah.
Okay. I kinda wish like I was happy I learned the other things about you. I kinda wish I hadn't learned that one.
Well,
I'm kidding.
You know.
I don't care. It's fine. Is that five or you have one?
No,
more?
this is five, okay. And this is kind of split. This was hard. So initially, I was going to put markets. Like I like to go to like little outdoor markets,
like farmers markets. Okay.
And even though I don't buy stuff all the time, I still like getting out there and like walking around and just seeing what people have. But to tie with that is I'm a weekly Loteria player, which is Mexican bingo. Mm-hmm. And if you know me, you know that I like doing that. But most people, when I tell them what I'm doing on a Thursday going to play Loteria, they're like, what? Like, this is you?
I'm sure that, a lot of people will first need to explain what that is.
They would.
I mean, I've heard of it. I don't know much about it other than it's Mexican bingo. But, yeah, I think a lot of people would have to have you, like, what the hell is that? I think people would hear that word and might think it's lottery.
Yeah, loitering or something
loitering,
like that.
Yes.
Anything but
Loteria. Oh, yeah, I'm just loitering at the convenience store like I'm in the 90s film Clerks or something. All right. My Mount Rushmore plus one. Well, I guess first question. Johnny, you got a second? Well, Johnny's actually busy. All right, Cam, am I going sportsy or non-sportsy here?
Did you go sportsy last week?
I did
not. No, you did not. So sportsy.
Sportsy? All right. So these are Houston sports moments I wish I could have been live to. Well, some of these were alive, but I was like two or three. But Houston sports moments I wish I could have been alive to experience. Like, I was at the Chris Burt walk-off home run. I was, I was old enough to experience, even though I wasn't at the game, to watch the Rockets win their first two titles. But these are all moments I either was like three or wasn't alive for that I wish I could have experienced. Number one, Love You Blue. The Earl Campbell 70s Oilers that got to back-to-back, I think it's back-to-back, AFC Championship games against the Steelers. Definitely two AFC title games to the Steelers. They might not have been consecutive. But yeah, I mean, I was born in 83, so by the time I came around, I think Earl was already in New Orleans. after he left the Oilers, and Bum Phillips was fired. So I never got to experience the magic that I hear my uncle and my older relatives talk about with Love You Blue. So that's at the top of the list. Also sticking with kind of the same time period, a little bit later, but the Rockets went to two NBA finals in the 80s, lost to the Celtics both times, in six, I believe, both times. The latter of the two with Ralph Sampson and Hakeem Olajuwon, a part of the Twin Towers. Yeah. And then knocked out the Lakers to get to the finals with a crazy walk-off, like, just kind of turnaround, like kind of a Leitner-esque shot from Ralph Sampson to knock off the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. That was in 86. I was three. So, I mean, I was alive, but I have no memory of it. So I wish I had been, you know, old enough to enjoy that. Same year, the 1986 Astros with Mike Scott, Nolan Ryan. Yeah. Those
J.R.
Richard, I think, was still around then. Jim DeShays, yeah. I think, was on that team. But that team had some horses and ran into some unfortunate luck when the Mets got them. And, was it like a 14-inning game in Game 6 or something? Something crazy.
Wasn't it like the longest Astros postseason?
I think so, until the Chris Burke game.
Or until the Chris Burke against Seattle. Yeah.
The Seattle game was also 18 innings, right. Two more. The Astrodome when it's new. Like, I went to the Astrodome as a kid. Probably my first trip there would have been, like, I don't know, 94, 95. So it wasn't old and busted like it is now. It's not filled with asbestos and rats or whatever. But it would have been really cool to be able to go there. Like I think Mickey Mantle and the Yankees played an exhibition game when it opened up in the 60s. Like, it had been cool to go into the Dome when it was, like, brand new, when it was state-of-the-art. Because my memories of the Dome are going to it when it was already on the decline and then obviously becoming a piece of crap towards the end. So it'd been really cool to be able to experience the Dome as a brand new state-of-the-art venue.
Well, and it was unique, didn't it? I mean, right. Isn't that why they gave it the nickname Eighth Wonder of the World? Because it was like the first thing of its kind, basically. Like, yeah.
And the last one, also tied to the Oilers, I mentioned Love You Blue earlier. I don't know how many people actually know this unless you're old, but the Oilers actually won two AFL titles back in 1960 and 1961. As someone who's never been able to see my favorite football team win a professional title. And I know it's not the NFL championship. It's not a Super Bowl. But it would have been cool to see the Oilers win two AFL titles when they started off in 1960 and 1961. I believe George Blanda, the Hall of Famer, was on teams. Someone will correct me if I'm wrong on that. But it had been cool to experience the Oilers way back in the AFL days when they won back-to-back titles.
I forget that there was a... And then didn't they...
Because they didn't merge until, I guess it had been 68, when the Jets and I forget who the Jets beat. The Colts? Yeah, they beat the Colts.
Yeah, because didn't Kansas... Who moved and turned into Kansas City?
The Dallas Texans.
Okay,
They were the Dallas Texans. They moved to Kansas City.
Okay,
yeah,
there it is.
So, anyway, those are my Mount Rushmore plus one. Johnny, you good here? You have a Mount... Okay, your Mount Rushmore plus one today is what, sir? Uh-oh. You good? Oh, I can go to break it.
No, it's okay.
Okay,
it's all right.
I know you got other things going on in the studio.
I'll give you a quick one.
Okay, go ahead.
My thumbs up was actually a signal of, like, I'm good, move on.
Oh.
But that's okay.
we can still do that. You know what? Let's go ahead and do that. We'll save it for the other side of the break. Save your Mount Rushmore plus one for next week. I know you got a lot going on in the studio. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. When we get back, it's our worst people in sports this week and what we love from sports this week. That when the bullpen returns, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Welcome back into the bullpen. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Belmer here with you. One more segment today. We'll be back next week for a WrestleMania Saturday version of the bullpen. Cam Smith sounds like won't be here because he's defending his flag football title. But Sean Mapes will be back alongside me and Johnny. One quick text to answer that I missed earlier. We were having our, what would you rather do with your life on the line conversation. And we broke it down to, at least initially, catch a pass or hit a ball. But from 5-0-1-2, score a goal against an NHL goalie. Where would you put that amongst the other options we gave you? Would you
so far down?
Not so far down.
Not only can
would that
I
be at
not
the bottom?
Skate. Oh.
Well, no, you could. I mean, you could stand flat-footed if you want to. You just have to score. You don't actually have to do like a
is
skate
he
de- up
is he
and
decked
spin.
Out in his hole?
Yeah, he's a regular. He's a regular.
I don't know. Hockey. Besides, like tennis and some of these other ones, I have little to
so that would be at the bottom
no
of your
experience.
List?
Yeah.
What about you, Johnny? Would that be at the bottom of your list as well?
I think so, too, because, yes, I cannot skate, but also if you walk out there flat-footed and
I know, you got no
one,
chance.
One swing, you're going to hit your back. Yeah, no
yeah,
chance.
Well, that too, yeah, you might hit your back. All right, time to end the show, as we always do, with our worst people in sports this week and what we love from sports this week. My worst person in sports this week, and I think this person is going to get put into our worst people in sports Hall of Fame. Alongside, well, this is mostly from a past producer, but Paul Pierce is in the worst people of sports Hall of Fame because our past producer Josh absolutely hated Paul Pierce. But Tyreek Hill is in the news again for more domestic situations. Last week, he filed for divorce from his wife, apparently claimed it was all a mistake, and then sent out some colorful language in a tweet. This week, Hill was served with divorce paper files by his wife, so I guess that is now becoming official. But more domestic problems involving his wife, which I think is like wife number six at this point, and his children, which we know he had past incidents with the son having his arm broken. So Tyreek Hill, safe to say to me, scumbag, Mount Rushmore of worst people in sports that we've had on this show. Who is your worst person in sports, Cam?
So mine is cringe social media influencers and streamers doing boxing matches.
So, okay, directed at the Pauls?
Not even the Pauls, because I'll give it to them. At least, who's the one that boxes professionally? Is it Jake or Logan?
Logan. Both of them
At
do.
Least he's been putting in work for years and actually
Jake
like takes it.
Jake was the one that fought Mike Tyson. Logan was the one that fought Mayweather. So they've both boxed.
At least they put in work and appear to actually like appreciate like the sport. But like all these other influencers that are just doing it for clicks, it's so cringe.
Yeah, but that's their job though. Their entire job and livelihood is clicks.
I know, but this is why I was having this conversation with this girl the other day, because she literally loves like boxing and wrestling, and she was even talking about how like it just she hates the way like boxing and wrestling is getting like watered down by stuff like this. Like it just
yeah, because Logan Paul is also, and he'll have a match at WrestleMania actually against AJ Styles, but he's also involved with the WWE. I mean, I get it, but look, and I'm a huge fan of boxing. I don't follow as much as I used to. Because of some of what you mentioned, well, one, there's too many divisions. There's too many champions in those divisions. It used to be where there would be, I don't know, like a 12-pound weight gap between divisions. Now yeah. You sometimes have as little as 5 pounds in between weight divisions. And each division has 4 champions plus interim champions. Plus, it's just so much to keep up with that it's watered down. And really post the Mayweather-Pacquiao era, I've kind of gotten out of it. But I mean, boxing kind of has no one to blame but themselves for,
yeah.
Like, if the sport was in a stronger place, if it was run better, guys like Logan and Jake Paul wouldn't be able to take it over because they would have, who's the mainstream star in boxing outside of Canelo? Like, I mean, boxing fans, you know other guys like Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford and, you know, on and on and on. But I think as far as, like, mainstream sports fans, I think they kind of only know Canelo. So, yeah, I'm just saying it's kind of boxing's own fault for the spot they put themselves in. But regardless, it's time to go ahead and stop swimming with the anger sharks. Go ahead and doggy paddle over to Sea of Tranquility and talk about what we love from sports this week. What I love from sports this week, Johnny, we have this audio here. There was an announcer for the Jupiter Hammerheads, which is a minor league team for the Miami Marlins, who was calling a game last week when the Hammerheads walked not one, not two, I'll skip ahead, 22 batters in a 9-inning game. And I forgive me, I don't have the guy's name written down, but he did not hold back and let his feelings be known.
It's only my 5th season. I've been in baseball, you know, a little under a decade because of my college days. I've never written so many RBI walks in a book before. This is listen, I know that I'm supposed to be optimistic about our team here, but, I mean, come on, guys. Like, I could go out there. Let me loosen up my shoulder. I'll go help things out because you got to put it over the plate. You got to give your defense a shot. You've not been given a shot all game. We're broadcasting for maybe two people right now. That's for sure.
Hey, these two people are thoroughly mentioned and entertained right now.
Next pitch, misses outside, ball four. Well, why not? 21 walks today. The payoff pitch from Reyes. Outside, ball four. So there's the third walk of the inning, the 22nd walk of the game, and that'll load the bases for Manuel Beltre.
I think my favorite part was ball four for walk 21, why not?
Why not?
He is completely checked out.
I feel like
out.
At this point he's like on the opposite end now. Now he's like, all right, how many more can they get?
Yeah, I think he's rooting for 30. Also think he might be updating his resume in real time while he's calling the game. Like, yeah. One, he's filling out the box score. He's also filling out the resume. He's like, man, I'm going to say something.
I can't do this.
I can't do this anymore. That or I'm going to say something that gets me canned. Quickly, Cam, what did you love from sports this week?
Ime calling out NBA opponents for being soft.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely made a habit of that, for sure. I mean, I think this started with, was it LeBron last year he called a soft-ass boy at one point?
It was LeBron last year, yeah. And then this year when he was getting into it with, like, Draymond and Steph. And basically
They were complaining about the non-calls on Steph, and, yeah, Ime let him have it. I love it when Ime is talking trash to the opponents. All right, that'll do it for the bullpen this week. Again, we'll be back next week on WrestleMania Saturday with Sean Mapes returning and probably a few guests along the way. For Cam Smith, for John Belmer, I am Brian McDonald. Thank you for listening. Make sure you stay tuned to ESPN 97.5 because coming up next, the Mean Gene Show. But for Cam, for John, I am Brian again. Once again, have a great week in Houston. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the show, Cam Smith.
ESPN 97.5.